May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a great TED Talk that's about 15 years old now by the Nigerian author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, entitled The Danger of a Single Story. Has anyone heard this? A couple, good. The talk was a series of stories about what happens when we reduce all the complexity of a person's life or a nation's culture to a single story about that person or that place, as if something can only be one thing at once. And she explored this through a number of stories from her own life. She began with the story of a visit to her family's servants in the village where they would come from. Like many middle-class Nigerians living in the city, her family employed domestic help who had come from the countryside. And her mother had always told them about how poor they were, how desperate their families were. Chimamanda was shocked when they went for a visit one day and found that not only was their village filled with more beautiful things than she'd imagined in a life of desperate poverty, but the servants whom she'd been raised to pity were local heroes in the village they'd come from. They were the ones who had made it out, made it in the big city, and come back to share their wealth. Her mother had only told her one story of pity and desperation and poverty, but there were many more stories in their lives. This pattern was then reversed when she came to America for college and discovered that the single story of poverty she'd been told about her family's domestic help was the same story that everyone around her had been told about her, about Africa as a whole. Her parents weren't oil tycoons like some in Nigeria, but they weren't subsistence farmers. They were university professors. And yet her classmates looked at her as the distillation of every news story about any country in Africa. They asked her how her English got so good when it's the official language of Nigeria. They looked to her for answers about Namibia and Somalia, places she'd never been. They asked her to play the tribal music of her people, and they were shocked when she took out a CD and it was Mariah Carey. The danger of the single story is that it limits who a person can be and what they can do. When people tell a single story about you, they insist that they already know who you are. They know your beginning, middle, and end. Chimamanda's mother told a single story, and she was wrong about their servants. Her classmates told a single story about her, and she turned it on its head. And in our gospel reading this morning, the danger of the single story comes to Jesus. And it turns out that, at least in Nazareth on that day, the story that the people told was exactly the story that they got. Jesus has been traveling around Galilee now for a while, sailing back and forth across the sea, healing people and teaching and casting out demons as usual. And he finally comes back home to Nazareth, to his hometown. And he begins to teach there in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And the people who hear him are amazed, but not exactly in a good way. "Where'd he get all this?" they say. "Isn't this Mary's kid? James's little brother, right? Isn't his sister sitting over here? He's not a preacher. He's not a rabbi. He's a carpenter. What's he doing in the pulpit?" they ask, and they take offense. They already know his story, in other words. They already know his role. They know his place, and he needs to learn it. And remarkably, Jesus goes along with it, at least for now. He shakes his head. He offers a wise saying about prophets and their hometowns, but he could do no deed of power there, except heal a few people who are sick. It turns out, if you want to stop Jesus right in his tracks, this is a good way to do it. If you feel like there's something that might be changing in your life, some new growth or development, some opportunity that's come to you or some capability that you've lost, and you want to resist whatever the Holy Spirit might be doing in that moment, you can. If you have a sensation that God might be extending you an invitation to leave something behind in your life and step into something new, and you want to reply with your regrets, you can decline that invitation. All you need to do is stick to the single story about yourself. "I can't leave this job right now and take that one because I'm supposed to care about X, even though I'm really feeling more drawn to Y. I can't let my children take care of me, even though they're in their 50s or their 60s. I'm a strong and independent person, and strong and independent people don't need help. I can't become friends with this neighbor. I can't cross this line in our community. I know what they are like already, and we have nothing in common, I'm sure. If you want to try to put an end to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, you can always try. But then again, here you are in church on a very sticky morning, so maybe you're more interested in cooperating. And Jesus has a lesson for us about cooperating, too. Because the danger in the gospel this morning is the danger of the single story. But the invitation is the invitation to be like the apostles in the second half of that reading, to live our lives like those disciples sent out two by two by Jesus to teach. He sends them out, leaving everything behind. They take nothing with them but a walking stick. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, not even two shirts, so they can change if they need to. They go out to share the love of God with the world, and Jesus tells them that they should be prepared to fail. He tells them that times will come when they're treated like his old neighbors had treated him, when people are so stuck in the single story of the world that they tell that they refuse to welcome this new story of good news. And he tells them what to do when others try to dismiss them. Don't fight, don't argue, don't tell them that they're going to burn eternally, but shake the dust off your feet and walk away. And where Jesus seems to have failed, the disciples succeed. They cast out many demons and heal many who are sick. I wonder what it would be like to think of ourselves, for each of you to think of yourself on your journey through this world as being like one of those apostles. I wonder what it would be like to leave everything behind, to lay down whatever the story is that you tell about your life, the story that limits you to who you always have been, and listen for the story that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell in the next few chapters for you. I wonder what it would be like to go out on the metaphorical road, taking only your walking stick, bringing only your curiosity and faith and the good news that God loves you and everyone around you, and to see where that road leads. I wonder what it would be like to be prepared to fail, to know that when you come to a fork in the road and you choose the wrong fork, that it's always a possibility to shake the dust off of your feet and move on somewhere else. Everyone in this room is on a different journey through this world. We find ourselves at wildly different places on the road, but it's all one road. Our lives and the lives of the people around us all contain many stories, and yet they're all part of one part of God's great story for us, God's story of love for this world. And we're part of that story, whether we choose to be active participants, whether we try to resist the author, or whether we try to stand by, or whether we join in. So I want to close by offering again the collect with which this service began. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.